respected brothers and elders and respected sisters that might be listening. This blessed month that we are in right now, this is the blessed month of Sha'ban. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, and he used to make dua in this month, saying, in the month before the month of Sha'ban would come, and before the month of Ramadan would come, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam would make dua that, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. O Allah, give us barakat in the month of Rajab and Sha'ban, and let us reach the month of Ramadan. So the ulama mentioned that Ramadan is such an auspicious month that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to prepare for this month from the month of Rajab. And he used to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lengthen his life. Or he used to make dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala make him reach the month of Ramadan. This can make a person understand the immense status and the immense virtue of this month in the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because it is only Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam who can understand the blessings of this month in reality. No one else can understand this month and its blessings and its status and its maqam like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood it. Because وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّ يُوحَىٰ. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would not speak out of his own desire. Whatever he would speak, it was but a revelation that was revealed to him. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying this, that Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan, there is something very great in this. That a person is preparing for something 2 months from before. This is something which is, subhanAllah, only the Prophet ﷺ could understand what was the true reality of it. And this is why Ibn Rajab Hanbali, rahmatullah alayhi, mentions in Lata'if al-Ma'arif, he mentions that the month of Rajab is the month where we plant the seed. And the month of Sha'ban is the month of when the winds, they start coming. The winds. Actually, no, he said the month of Rajab is the month where you plant the seeds. And the month of Sha'ban is the month where the winds and the clouds start coming. And the month of Ramadan is the month where the rain starts descending. The rain of Allah Ta'ala's mercy starts descending. And it is after that month of Ramadan that now the crops give and then we reap the fruits of those crops. So this blessed month of Sha'ban that we are in right now, this is a month in which every single person, every believer should start preparing. And from this time, start getting ready for Ramadan spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, in every way a person should start preparing from this month, from now, for the month of Ramadan. And the month of Ramadan, when the month of Sha'ban would come, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, قَدْ أَظَلَّكُمْ شَهْرٌ عَظِيمٌ شَهْرٌ هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. That this month is coming upon you, such a month which is a very great and very azim. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is calling this month azim. So what can be the virtue and what can be the status and what can be the maqam of that month which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says azim? Shahrun huwa khayru min alfi shahrin. That month which is better than 1,000 months. This is month. And he continues in the hadith, is a famous hadith. Then he mentions that one salat that a person performs, and one fard that a person does in this month, it is multiplied by 70 times. And one nafil that a person does in this month, it is equal to an act which is fard. So Allah Ta'ala, and this is talking about the ajr. It doesn't mean that a person, he prays nafil, and that nafil will be equal to a fard, and he doesn't have to perform his fara'id. That's not what it means. But rather, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is trying to explain to us, what is the immense bounty of this blessed month? And the unfortunate thing is that people go through this month as if it's just like any other month. They're fasting and just doing. But this was the month that the akabir and the ulama and the awliya and the tabi'een and the sahaba and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Imam al-awliya himself, he used to prepare for this month. And he used to get ready for this month. And this month is a month where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. This month has been ordained upon you, just as it was ordained upon the people before you. For what reason? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself mentions that this month is a month of spiritual rectification. This month has a special effect in attaining of taqwa. What is taqwa? What is the reality of taqwa? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that this is the month of taqwa. This is the month where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spiritually facilitates the attainment of this taqwa, such like in no other month. And that is why the akabir, ulama, and the sahaba, and all of the great people that have passed, they would give special attention to making khas ibadat in the month of Ramadan. They would give special attention to making ibadah in this month. The sahaba, the tabi'in, they would start from the month of Sha'ban. And Ibn Rajab Hanbali rahmatullahi mentions, he says, when the month of Sha'ban would come, they would say, هَذَا شَهْرُ الْقُرَّىٰ. This is the month of the qaris. They would start the recitation of the Qur'an, and they would start the preparation for this month from the month of Sha'ban. And also, there's a very beneficial book that I wanted to share with everyone. It's called The Ramadan of Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakaria, and our elders. And I highly recommend that anyone who can should get this book. And wallahi, when a person reads this kitab, you feel within yourself such weakness and you feel such deficiency when you see the akabir, how much they would devote their time in the blessed month of Ramadan for the ibadat of Allah Azza wa Jal. Whereas in reality, if we look at the life of Mawlana Zakariya rahmatullahi alayh, if we look at the life of these elders, Hazrat Mawlana Yahya rahmatullahi alayh, Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi, Hazrat Hakimul Ummat, Mujaddid al-Millat, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Sahab Thanwi rahmatullahi alayh, and Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Kandehlivi rahmatullahi alayh, Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf, Hazrat Mawlana Inamul Hasan, and you take all of the akabir, their whole life was ibadat. Every single day of their life, the life of those ulama, every single day of their life was ibadat. It's mentioned, Ma Zakariya 18 years he spent in the khidmat of a kitab, Awjazul Masalik. One kitab, which he wrote under the supervision of Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saranpuri rahmatullahi alayh, 18 years, day and night, was the effort of Maulana Zakariya rahmatullahi alayh. And along with that, they would be making ibadat. And along with that, they would be making their wazifas and their ibadat and their khidmat of deen. The ulama mentioned, and this is mentioned in some of the statements of the ulama, that even the sleep of an alim is ibadat. Even the sleeping of an alim is considered as ibadat. And the ulama mentioned why? Is because the sleeping that he does, it is to gain strength so that he goes back and he does khidmat of deen. So because that sleeping, it becomes a mu'een of khidmat of deen, that is also included in making khidmat of deen. That is also included in ibadat. Just like they mentioned, some of the scholars have mentioned that how can you say that the sleeping of an alim is ibadat? So they said, let me give you an example. He said, you know a carpenter, when you hire him to do a job, he said, I want you to build this house for me, or I want you to build this shack for me. So now, the time that he takes to sharpen his tools, the time he is taking to sharpen his tools, now do you pay him for that time or no? So they said, yes, we do pay him for that time. Why is that? It's because sharpening of the tools is actually part of the job itself. The sharpening of the tools of that carpenter is actually included in his work. Because the sharpening of the tools is a direct assistance in doing that job. So similarly, the sleep of an alim, who is an alim al-haq, who is an alim who is devoted to a khidmat of deen, when he is sleeping, even that becomes getting rest so that he can gain strength, eating so that he gain strength, so that he can make further khidmat of deen. This will also be, by the fadl of Allah Ta'ala, included in ibadat. So now, why were these people, why were these elders, such as Mu'adh Zakariya rahmatullah alayh, and Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullah alayh, and Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayh, why was it that these people would exert themselves extra? Their time was already ibadat. Their day and night was already ibadat. Why was it that these scholars, who day and night their time is spent in masjid, day and night their time is spent in khanqah, day and night their time is spent in tabligh and da'wat, why is it that the month of Ramadan, they would cut themselves off from everything and they would focus only on ibadat? So beautifully it has been mentioned that because this was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the last 10 days of Ramadan, he would completely shadd al-mi'zar. He would tie his izar. Yani, he would exert himself in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In adherence to this sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the akabir, ulama, they would exert themselves even more. So this month of Sha'ban should be a month in which we keep an example of these akabir ulama before our eyes, reading their stories. And as has been mentioned by one of the great salaf, he says, Al-Qasasul Awliya wa Hikayatul Salihin Jundum min Junudillahi Ta'ala. This has been mentioned by one of the salaf salihin, that the Hikayatul Salihin is Jundum min Junudillahi Ta'ala, that the stories of the Salihin and the stories of the awliya, this is one of the armies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is an army from the armies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it helps you, it strengthens you. Because what does an army do? An army strengthens you. So when we read the stories of these individuals, and why I specifically mention these akabir, Hazrat Shaykh Maulana Zakariya rahmatullah alayh, Hazrat Maulana Ilyas rahmatullah alayh, Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayh, because these were the akabir who were just 40, 50 years ago. We're not talking about Sahaba and Tabi'een from 1400 years ago. We're not talking about the Zamana where, you know, there was no electricity and there was no modernity and there were no, you know, this fitna and facade that exists today, it did not exist in that time. Somebody might say, oh, but that was the Zamana of the Sahaba. That was the Zamana, there was no fitna, there was no facade, there was no this, there was no that. So this is why we, in every Zamana, Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat, Mujaddid al-Millat, Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, he says that Hanuz on Abre Rahmat Durfishanast. He mentions one poem in Farsi. Hanuz on Abre Rahmat Durfishanast. Khumu khum khana ba muhru nishanast. He says that even now, that cloud of Allah Ta'ala's mercy is still flowing with copious rain. A person should never ever say those awliya existed in that time. There is no more such individuals anymore. No. He mentions and he quotes this from one of the Farsi, the Buzurgan Adin. He says, Hanuz an abri rahmat durfishanast. That rahmat, that cloud of Allah Ta'ala's mercy is still flowing. It's still flowing with the rains of hidayat and guidance. Khumu khum khana ba muhru nishanast. He says, the dispensary of the wine of Allah's love, and the wine of Allah's love is also still here. Don't think that it's been closed. The dispensary of the wine of Allah Ta'ala's love and the dispensary itself is still continuous. Nobody should ever have this guman. Nobody should ever have this mentality that those Buzurgan Adin don't exist anymore. They do exist, but you don't have the eye to see them. We don't have the eyes to see them. Hazrat Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi, he said that when a person looks into the ocean, he thinks that all of the stones, all of those rocks on the bottom of the ocean, it's all rocks, they're all stones, they're all the same thing. He said, but amongst those stones and amongst those rocks, you will find some pearls also. But those pearls are hidden inside of the oyster. Sometimes they do not expose themselves. You have to go deep. You have to go inside, actually, the ocean of Allah Ta'ala's love to actually find them. So, an example of this zamana, this is from our own time. Many of the people that are sitting here have seen Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh. In this gathering, there's probably many people who have seen Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh. There's many people in this gathering that have seen Maulana Inam al-Hasan Rahmatullah Alayh, seen Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayh, seen Hazrat Maulana Hakim Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, seen Peer Zulfiqar Naqshbandi Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah. These are all these akabir that if we really look at their lives, how they spend their time in Ramadan. In the month of Ramadan, I seen my own Shaykh Hazrat Wala Damat Barakatuhum, that the entire nights of Ramadan he would not sleep. And every few minutes I would see him, he would be engrossed in the dua because he had the effect of paralysis on his body. So he did not have the capability of standing. But many times he would just say, he said, face me towards the Qibla. In the night when he would be sleeping, he's supposed to be sleeping. And his khas khuddam, they would say that, Hazrat, you know, you should sleep and you should get rest. Please, you know, you're overexerting yourself. In the time he's sleeping, he's lifting because one side was falaj, he would be lifting one hand. Many times we would see him. And then when the time would come near the time where the khas nuzul of Allah Ta'ala's rahmat at suhoor, he would have his bistar face towards the Qibla and he would be making khas dua at that time. Even when he's supposed to be sleeping, his one hand is lifted and he is uttering, he said, I cannot sleep on these nights. Such tajalliyat of Allah Ta'ala is descending on these nights that how can you sleep? I wanted to mention, see, these are the people in this time. We're not even mentioning the time of the previous ulama. Now, Hazrat, I wanted to mention some of the devotions of some of these akabir. Reading this kitab, how it affects the heart. I was reading this while I was coming from my flight from San Francisco to here. Wallahi, I could not even hold my tears while I'm reading the stories of these akabir. And the thing that brings tears to my eyes is that these people were not so far away. Maybe a couple of, not even a generation has passed. There are, like I mentioned, there are still people alive that have witnessed such individuals. Tears are coming to my eyes reading about the stories of these individuals, and we realize how deficient we are. And a person, we read our five daily namaz and said, I'm a big namazi. I'm five times namazi. Or a person, you know, he praises Jummah namaz and he says, I'm, you know, praying Jummah. Some people even make fakhr that they pray Eid Salat once a year. And you read the stories of these akabir and then you feel so ashamed and you realize what is the maqam of these akabir. So he mentions Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullah alayh. Another thing written regarding the exhaustive devotions of Hazrat Gangohi was that people pitied him when they saw his devotions. When they would look at him, they would feel sorry for him. How much is he exerting himself? When he was over 70 years old, he was performing worship almost all of the time, fasting the whole day when it was extremely hot in India, and praying 20 instead of 6 rakats of Salatul Awabin after Maghrib. After Maghrib Salat, when you take iftari, you want to rest, you want to have a rest and you want to prepare for Salat al-Tarawih, he said, I'm going to pray 20 rakats now after Isha. They would pray their 20 rakats after Maghrib Salat. And the least he recited during this time was 2 juz of Quran. In that 20 rakats, he would be reading 2 juz of the Quran. And in Taraweeh, when the imam is reading 1.5 juz, then we feel very heavy on our legs. We're saying, this imam sahab is reading too long. Jaldi parna chahiye. And the least he recited during this part was 2 juz of the Quran. Also, his bowing and prostration were so long. His bowing and prostration were so long that people thought he was suffering from amnesia. People thought he was suffering from amnesia. Bechara, maybe he forgot that he's not supposed to get up again. After the voluntary salat, he completed many parts on his way home while at home to eat. And then after he would pray that 20 rakats, while he was walking towards his house, he would be reciting Quran. After a short while, he left for Isha and Taraweeh, which took from 1 to 1.25 hours, just like normal Taraweeh. After Taraweeh, he rested between 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. for 1 hour. He would take rest. And woke up without fail at 2:30. And what is his age? Oh, young people, this is for myself and for all the other young people that are here. This is when Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullah alayh was 70 years old. So he would sleep from 10 to 11 and he would wake up without fail at 2:30. In fact, some of his helpers saw him performing ablution sometimes at 1 in the morning. During this time, he prayed tahajjud for 2.5 to 3 hours. Allahu Akbar. This is actually ruhani taqat. This is ruhani taqat. This is not something that has to do with physical, or they were strong people, or they were physically fit. Our Shaykh, Damat Barakatuh, he says about Hazrat Shah Abdul Ghani Phulpuri rahmatullahi alayh, one of the ajal khulafa of Hazrat Thanwi. He says that Hazrat used to make 8 hours of ibadah daily. 8 hours of ibadah. His ibadah would begin around 1-2 o'clock after midnight. And it would last all the way up to Ishraq and Chasht. And in that he would read 4, 5, 6 juz of the Quran daily. Subhanallah. This was their ruhani taqat. If any one of the helpers came by at suhoor at 5:30 or so, they found that he was still praying. Now imagine a person starting his ibadah at 2:30 and he's continuing on all the way to 5 o'clock, and then the khuddam and the khadims, they would see that he's still in ibadah. He then prayed. After fajr, he did his awrad and his wazifas and did his meditation until sunrise. He then prayed the post-sunrise salat, yani salatul ishraq, and rested for a few hours. When the mail came in, he was busy again writing fatwas and responding to letters. And then he rested qailula after the pre-noon salat. After zuhur, the doors to his room were closed and he recited Quran until asr. Despite his old age, enfeebled state, and severe pain due to sciatica. Sciatica. It says pain along the course of the sciatic nerve or its branches. So Hazrat had pain in his back and his lower area. And in spite of that, he would still continue to make ibadat in this state, which forced him to stop for rest as he walked from the bathroom to his room. Though it was only 15 to 16 steps, he would stop. From his room to the bathroom, there was about 15 to 16 steps. And he would be stopping on the way while going to the bathroom because of the pain that he had. He would stop that, but he would not stop his ibadat in any way. He prayed not only his obligatory salat, but all his voluntary salat in a standing position in this old age. And for hours on end, his khuddam begged him numerous times, Hazrat, you can pray your Taraweeh sitting down. Hazrat, why you pray standing up? But Hazrat's only answer to this was, this is a sign of susti. If I pray sitting down, this is a sign of faint-heartedness. Buzdili ki alamat hai. Yes. He would say that this is a sign of faint-heartedness. Buzdili. That I'm going, because I can't stand up, now I'm going to pray sitting down. Subhanallah. Such a person who has excuse. Such a person who, he is of that age, which is, it would be valid for him to do such a thing. And what is he saying? He said, no, I will not sit, because this is a sign of faint-heartedness. Weak-heartedness. Allahu Akbar. What strength Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted them. One cannot become a true successor of the one who said, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Subhanallah. Yeah, how can a person become the true warathai anbiya? And all of those people, especially the tulab ilm, especially those people that have studied this knowledge, especially those people that have sanad of hadith and they have this amanat of ilm. When we take pride that al-ulama warathatul anbiya, right? We say that when we want people to respect us. This is what we say. Al-ulama warathatul anbiya. That means I am the inheritor of the Prophet because I have a sanad from a madrasa and now I want people to... So this is when we use... This is when we use... This hadith, al-ulama warathatul anbiya. So why are you not warathatul anbiya in the ibadat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also? Why are you not warathatul anbiya in the akhlaq of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also? Why are you not warathatul anbiya in the character of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also? And in the mujahada of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also? That's also, you have, when you make inheritance, then you inherit everything. You don't inherit the izzat and the honor. We want to inherit those things which was very accommodating for us and uplifting for us. But we don't want to inherit those things which build us to the maqam which truly makes us a true successor. So this is what he's saying, that this one cannot become a true successor. One cannot become a true waris of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of the one who said, "Afala akunu abdan shakura." When did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say this? When he was standing so long in ibadat that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, she was feeling pity for him. Ya Rasulullah, why do you make so much ibadat? And Allah Ta'ala has forgiven all of your past and previous sins. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then said, should I not be a grateful servant? This is the ibadat of a person who is a grateful servant. Now what should be the ibadat of a person who is a sinful servant? This is the ibadat of one who is a grateful servant. He's saying, I am doing this. Why? Because Allah is mustahiq of ibadat. That is why. I don't want anything from Him. I am making shukr to Him. This is ibadatul shakirin. Ibadatul shakirin. There's many types of ibadat. One is the ibadat of the those that are looking for ajr. They call this ibadatul tujjar. Right? The ibadat that you do something in order to get something back. You're making tijarat. You're doing a trade. Alhamdulillah, this is also good. For a person to do that, is for us, this is mashallah, very good. But high maqam of the anbiya was what? Ibadatul shakirin. The ibadat of those people that worship Allah only because Allah is worthy. Why are you doing this? When Hazrat Aisha asked, Ya Rasulullah, why are you making so much ibadat? What was his answer? Because I want Jannah. Because I want Jannah. He didn't say that. He says, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a thankful servant of Allah? Yani, this is the highest maqam. This is the highest, the greatest reason why is out of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why shaitan, he already told us before, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. He said, oh Allah, I will lead them astray and you will not find many of them thankful. A person to make ibadat out of thanks to Allah Ta'ala and out of gratefulness to Allah, that, oh Allah, you've given me this. Also, we should understand the fasting of the month of Ramadan, also a thankfulness to Allah Ta'ala. People consider this to be like a big, na'udhu billah, some difficulty, hardship, big problem that has descended. Oh, Ramadan is coming. Throughout the entire year, we are eating the blessings of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Does Allah not have that haqq upon us that one month of the year we should not eat out of thankfulness to Allah for the risk that He has given us? 1 month of the year, Allah doesn't have that haqq upon us? The entire year, we are eating the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. And we're making israf of the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. And we're making, transgressing the boundaries of Allah Ta'ala. And in Somalia, we know right now, look at the famine, look at the drought. The people are suffering and starving from hunger. 1 month becomes like a musibat upon us. We should fast this month with so much joy, saying this, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a grateful servant of Allah Ta'ala that He has given me the opportunity and the bounty of fasting in this month? So every type of worship was increased in the month of Ramadan, of Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullahi. We're speaking about the Ramadan of Hazrat Gangohi. This was not a person from 7th century. This is a person from this, maybe 40, 50, 60 years ago. 60 years ago, Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullahi maybe passed away. So every type of worship was increased in the month of Ramadan. But the way he exerted in reciting Quran was unbelievable. The way he exerted in reciting Quran was unbelievable. He didn't even spare time to talk while going to and from the masjid and home. Even while he's walking from the masjid to his house and from his house to the masjid, he would be in constant recitation of the Quran. Within the salat and otherwise, he completed approximately half a Quran each day. Half a Quran each day. Brothers and sisters, the reason for reading this, what is it? The reason for reading this. It is not that we become exact imitation of this. For us to become an exact imitation, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. If Allah Ta'ala would allow and give us tawfiq to do that, mashallah. But for us to realize that at least, if we see these examples, the least that we can do is adjust our schedule a little bit in this blessed month of Ramadan. A little bit adjustment. Look at how these akabir, who's, like I mentioned before, their life was already ibadat. Their life was already ibadat. In the khidmat of deen, and teaching of hadith, and Quran, and da'wat, and tabligh. But in the month of Ramadan, in adherence to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he would devote himself in this month. And they would stop all other things in this month. Maybe we can take a little example, a little from the example of these akabir. The night before, the first day of Ramadan, he would announce to the gathering. The gathering is dismissed from today onwards. Yani majlis-e-zikr or the majlis-e-khas that he would have with his murideen, what he would say, the gathering is dismissed from today onwards. What a pity if a man wastes the blessed month of Ramadan. His diet now, despite all his worship and devotion, was barely more than 5 kilos of wheat for the whole month of Ramadan. 5 kilos of wheat for the entire month of Ramadan, Hazrat Dalgoi rahmatullah used to say. In another place in Tazkiratul Rashid, Hakim Ishaq Nahturi, the successor of Sheikh Gangohi, noted the devotion of Hazrat Gangohi, and he writes, he said he came out late from his private room in the month of Ramadan. In the winter, he usually came about 10 o'clock in the morning. His voluntary salat, recitation of Quran, meditation and silence exceeded that of the other days. He slept, rested, and talked very little. And this is another musibah, that in the month of Ramadan, coming to the masajid, especially we see this musibat in itikaf. Those brothers that Allah Ta'ala gives them some tawfiq to do itikaf in the last 10 days of Ramadan, or to do itikaf in any of the days of Ramadan, and you see them sitting in the masjid and gapshap, bas. One way. Well, and astaghfirullah, some of the gapshap even goes into ghibat, and kadhib, and lying, and all these types of different types of sin. And Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi, he used to sleep, rest and talk very little. قِلَّةُ الطَّعَامِ قِلَّةُ الْمَنَامِ قِلَّةُ الْإِخْتِلَاطِ مَعَ الْأَنَامِ. Right? That sleeping less, eating less, talking less, and mixing less with people. So this was especially implemented in the month of Ramadan. After Maghrib, he secluded himself for a short while, then came to eat. And he led the Taraweeh in the beginning of Ramadan, but stood behind his son, Mawlvi Hafiz Hakim Muhammad Masood Ahmad, in the last part. After Witr, he prayed 2 long rakats while standing. From a few words I overheard, I understood that he recites Surah Al-Mulk, Surah Sajda, and Surah Dukhan in these 2 rakats. From a few words I overheard that he would recite these surahs, Surah Al-Mulk, Surah Sajda, and Surah Dukhan, because these are some of those surahs which is very virtuous to recite. Nabi ﷺ would not sleep until he would recite these surahs, as is mentioned in one hadith. Hazrat Gangohi would read these in 2 rakats of his nafal prayer. He also fasted most of the first 10 days of Zulhijjah, and the 10th of Muharram, and the half of Shaban. He's mentioning some of the ahwal. And one more thing he mentions about Hazrat Maulana Zakariya rahmatullahi, he said, more than anyone else, I spent a lot of time with Hazrat Raipuri rahmatullahi. And he said, Hazrat Rai Puri, in the month of Ramadan, he would completely cut off every single thing. And he would specifically say that if anybody has written me any letters, if anybody has any correspondency that they want to make, I'm sorry, but only after the month of Ramadan I will deal with it. This is why, brothers and sisters, we should try to the best of our ability, that most important thing in the month of Sha'aban that we can do before Ramadan is remove all the distractions. To the best of our ability. Try and remove the distractions. If you can take off and get your vacation in the month of Ramadan from your work, then you should do so. If a person can try to the best of his ability to get off in this time, this is the most auspicious time that he can take it out for. Because this is actually the purpose of this blessed month, is so that we attain taqwa. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that when this blessed first night comes, we should be prepared for it like none other. And I wanted to mention one hadith, and I'll end with this. Is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned this hadith narrated in Tabarani, bi isnadin la ba'sa bihi. It's a strong hadith. He mentions that u'tiyat ummati fi shahri ramadana khamsan lam yu'tahunna nabiyun qabli. This is such a month. For me to say, as an introduction to the month of Ramadan, and inshallah the weekend that I'm here, that's going to be my purpose, is just speaking about the issues of this blessed month of Ramadan and how to prepare, what are the wazifas that we can do, what are the ways that we can value our time in this blessed month. But for us to understand this blessed month of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala has given this month to every ummah. This month was to every ummah. As is mentioned, that كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. This month has been ordained upon you, O Ummat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just as it was ordained upon the ummats before you. So this was given to all the other ummats, the Yahud and the Nasara. But they did ifrat and tafreet. Allama Alusi rahmatullahi alayhi, tafsir Ruhul Maani, mentions that the Nasara, they were given this month of Ramadan. It was one month. And their king, he became sick. He became ill. So they fasted for 10 days. They said, what can we do? We fast for 10 days. Therefore, out of supplication to Allah, maybe Allah Ta'ala will remove the sickness of our sultan, of our king, of our leader, of our sayyid. So they added 10 days to that Ramadan. It became 40 days. Allama Alusi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions this in Tafsir Ruhul Maani. Then when he became better, Allah gave him shifa. They fasted another 10 days. Added. Became 50 days. And that also was it was happening in the summer months. That is why Ramadan is called Ramadan. It comes from Ramda. Ramda means the severe heat of the desert. It's burning, scorching heat of the desert. Because the month of Ramadan at those times was coming when the severe scorching heat. And the ulama mentioned that, why did the name remain? If the months didn't remain, now it moves. Ramadan moves. At the beginning stages, maybe it was coming in the times when it was scorching heat, where it would scorch anything. It was so difficult. So 50 days they were fasting, the Nasara. And it was also in the very scorching heat. And obviously after some time, the month of Ramadan, it was according to the lunar month, so it would change. But the name still remained, Ramadan. Because the effect of it is still the same. It scorches away a person's guna. And it burns away a person's sins. So the name does the game. The name does still does the same game. It scorches, but it doesn't scorch the people. It scorches away your sins. مَنْ صَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. Anyone who fasts the month of Ramadan with iman and hoping for the reward of it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will forgive all of his previous sins. Scorches away all of his sins. So these people, for 50 days their fast became, and it was also in the month, it became like a kafara. 60 days we do kafara, it's like a penalty. This became like a big penalty for them. It became a big wabal for them. So what do? They left it out altogether. And it ended up one day. And we see the Catholics, the after effects of this fasting that remain from the time of Ramadan is the Catholics, where they have, you know, what do they have? Lent and Ash Wednesday and these type of things. And what do? They don't even fast from food and drink. When I was in high school, I remember we were fasting for the month of Ramadan, and there was other students who said, oh, what are you doing? We're fasting. I said, oh, I'm also fasting. It was, I think, coincidentally, it was also their time Yeah, fasting is difficult. He said, but I said, how is your fasting? He said, your fasting is, you don't leave food and drink. We have to leave something that we like very much. Like, I've left chocolate. Oh, it's so difficult for me. I'm leaving chocolate. Oh, I'm leaving donuts. So it was such a big thing for them. So it became from 50 days of fasting in the scorching heat, no food, no drink, to what? And then also the ahkam of fasting was different in their time. The ahkam was fasting as in the beginning of Islam. They were not allowed to have intercourse in the night also. They were not allowed to be with their wives and their spouses in the night also. And the fasting of Bani Israel was also fasting of sawm. إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَانِ صَوْمًا. Maryam alayhi salam, she says that I have vowed a fast. What was the fast? Samt. That is why in the Shariat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, silence during fasting is makruh. Silence during i'tikaf is makruh. Because it's tashabbuh bi ahlil kitab. Because their fasting was a fasting of silence. So it was extremely difficult for them. It was fasting of night also from the spouse, and fasting of speech also, and fasting of all different things. If they even spoke the truth, their roza would be broken. And if we even speak a lie, our roza will not be broken. Allahu Akbar. If they even spoke the truth, their roza would be broken. And if we even speak a lie, yeah, the sawab and the ajr is not there. But technically, do we say that this person has broken his roza? No. The ajr is lost, but the fast will be considered valid in the sense of the technicality of it. So this is the rahmat of Allah. So Allah Ta'ala has given this ummah five things that He did not give any other ummah before. This is for us to understand the magnitude of this month that we're facing. How can a person then not prepare for this month? أُعْطِيَتْ أُمَّتِي فِي شَهْرِ رَمَضَانَ خَمْسًا لَمْ يُعْطَهُنَّ نَبِيٌّ قَبْلِي. And this is a hadith of Tabarani بِإِسْنَادِ اللَّهِ بَأْسَ بِهِ. Authentic narration. Imam Mundhiri rahmatullahi mentions also this in Targhib. So he says, أَمَّا الْوَاحِدَ فَإِنَّهُ إِذَا كَانَ أَوَّلُ لَيْلَةٍ مِّن شَهْرِ رَمَضَانَ نَظَرَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِمْ جَمِيعًا وَمَنْ نَظَرَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ لَمْ يُعَذِّبْهُ أَبَدًا. That when the first night, أَمَّا الْوَاحِدَ, the first thing that Allah Ta'ala has given, نَظَرَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِلَيْهِمْ, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala gives a khas nazari rahmat, gives a special glance of mercy on the people, on the believers, on those that are intending to fast, on those people that are intending to prepare for this month, on those people that have directed their hearts towards this blessed month. نَظَرَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِمْ جَمِيعًا. Allah looks at all of those people with a nazar of mercy, with the glance of mercy. And what type of glance is this? One glance. وَمَنْ نَظَرَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ لَمْ يُعَذِّبْهُ أَبَدًا. And the one who attains this one glance of Allah Ta'ala's rahmat, لَمْ يُعَذِّبْهُ أَبَدًا. It will be such that he will never become wretched, and he will never become mustahiq of Allah Ta'ala's azab. Now a person might make an ishkal, make an objection. So now you're saying that a person after this first night, he doesn't need to pray namaz? نَظَرَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ وَمَنْ نَظَرَ إِلَيْهِ لَمْ يُعَذِّبْهُ أَبَدًا. So bas, don't even fast. And don't even pray namaz. And don't even... But the reality of this is that some of the ulama mentioned, he says that Allah's glance of mercy is such that it makes islah of the complete shan of that individual. It rectifies that complete individual such that he in the end, yani bil khatima, he becomes worthy that Allah Ta'ala does not ever give him azab. Yani such a mercy Allah Ta'ala gives him, that this nazar of mercy is actually tawfiq and barakat that Allah descends upon him. To such an extent that now he becomes such a slave of Allah Ta'ala that Allah will give him those amal that through which Allah Ta'ala will then, inshaAllah, he will not be deserving of Allah Ta'ala's ghazab. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those people. This is the first one. This was specially given to this ummah. That glance of mercy, that nazar-i-rahmat. This nazar-i-rahmat was mentioned by Hakim al-Ummat rahmatullah alayhi. They asked Hakim al-Ummat, and from amongst these akabir, Hakim al-Ummat was the only one, he would not increase in his devotions in the month of Ramadan. He wouldn't do anything out of the ordinary in this month. He says, Hazrat, why is it that you don't do any special devotions in this month? And this is only Arif Billah can say. This is not we would say it out of laziness, but only a person who is the one who has the gnosis and the recognition and the ma'rifat of Allah Azza wa Jal can say such a thing. We cannot say it. He says, the reality is I see such tajalliyat and such rahmat and such nur and such illumination descending in this blessed month that it is as if my ibadat, it become like the stars in the sun. When the sun of this month shines, all of my ibadat become like haych and nothing. They actually would witness spiritually the illumination of the descent of this month. That he said that, what ibadat am I going to do? This month itself is maghfirat. Man sama Ramadan. Even if a believer doesn't do extra ibadat, you just fast the month of Ramadan, Allah has forgiven your sins. This is the mercy of Allah. Three things. Man sama Ramadan imana wa ihtisaba. Ghufira lahu ma taqaddam min dhanbihi. Fast the month of Ramadan, Allah forgives all of your previous sins. Wa man qama Ramadan imana wa ihtisaba. Ghufira lahu ma taqaddam min dhanbihi. Standing Taraweeh. Our ulama said it's sunnah muakkada. Nobody misses Taraweeh. Only the very wretched, unfortunate, shaqi, badbakht person is going to miss Taraweeh. Man qama Ramadan imana wa ihtisaba. Ghufira lahu ma taqaddam min dhanbihi. Okay, let's say you're so shaqi and badbakht, you don't even pray Taraweeh. وَمَنْ قَامَ لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ إِيمَانَ وَاحْتِسَابَ غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. It gives you a last final chance. Okay, stand at Laylatul Qadr. Even that person will not become mahroom. Allah Ta'ala will forgive all. So this month, it comes with so much blessings. That Hazrat Thani Ram said that even if I do not exert myself, such anwarat, such tajalliyat, such illumination is descending. That what can I say? All of my amal seem like stars when the sun rises. What happens to the stars when the sun rises? They disappear. That is exactly how I feel when I make ibadat in the blessings of all of this month. So that's the first one. Amma thaniya, the second thing, فَإِنَّ خُلُوفَ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ حِينَ يُمْسُونَ أَطْيَبُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ رِيحِ الْمِسْكِ. The smell and the disagreeable smell or the unpleasant smell, خُلُوفَ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ حِينَ يُمْسُونَ, that the unpleasant smell that comes from the mouth of a fasting person at that evening time, yani as the day continues, because in the morning it's, you probably, you know, the effects of it won't be so bad, but in the, when you start going towards iftari time, now that odor that's being built up in the mouth, it's so bad that sometimes you don't want to be near a person. And that odor is actually not from the mouth, it is from the stomach. Jazakumullah khair. This is from the stomach, it's not even from the mouth. So, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the appreciation of Allah azza wa jalla, subhanallah. One of the names of Allah ta'ala is Shakur. Shakur, Qadirdan, the one who appreciates. الَّذِي يُعْطِي أَجْرَ الْجَزِيلِ لِعَمَلِ الْقَلِيلِ. Ash-Shakur, who is Shakur? The one who gives you great sawab for doing a little bit of action. Imagine this action of fasting. It's like an ashiq. Ashiq, a person who loves someone. Even the bad thing of that person, you don't dislike it. Even the bad smell that comes from that person, you don't dislike it. Like a mother, when a child is become impure and a child has a dirty diaper, the mother doesn't take the child and throw it inside of the garbage. Take the diaper and the child, throw it inside of the garbage. No, the mother has love. Even that filth of that child, the mother will with love and with muhabbat say, this is of my baby, this is of my child. Look at the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the love for his slaves and the muhabbat that Allah Azza wa Jal has for his slaves. What does he say? The inna khulufa afwahihim hina yumsuna atyabu inda Allahi min rihil misk. Allah is saying that, oh my slave, oh my banda, I appreciate this so much that your bad smell is not bad to me. It is more beloved to me than musk. This is a expression of love. This is an expression of muhabbat. This is an expression of the greatest maqam of appreciation. Allah appreciates, subhanallah, what a Allah we have, what a Lord we have, that this bad smell to Allah says, no, it's not bad to me, it is very beautiful to me, because you are going through this because of me. That's number two. Amma thalitha, fa innal malaikata tastaghfiru lahum fi kulli yawmin wa laylatin. That the angels, innal malaikata tastaghfiru lahum, yani lis-sa'imina, في كل يوم وليلة, every morning and evening. يعني morning and evening. Those people that are fasting in the evening, why? In the evening, what is the reason? Because in the evening also, they are concerned that the next day I have to prepare for my next fast. So in the morning and in the evening, the malaika are making continuous dua. And this is such a khas thing that was not given to any of the ummats before. This is given khas to this ummat of Muhammad ﷺ. So a person, he's sitting, he is in a state of fasting, he is not reading Quran, he is not doing anything, he is just in a state of fasting. Automatically, simultaneously, he is getting the dua of the malaika. Khud ba khud. The meter is on. The meter is continuously on, day and night, as long as a person has the intention of fasting. فَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ تَسْتَغْفِرُ لَهُمْ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ أَمَّا الرَّابِعَةُ. As for number four, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يَأْمُرُ جَنَّتَهُ. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يَأْمُرُ جَنَّتَهُ وَيَقُولُ لِلْجَنَّةِ يَا جَنَّتِي اسْتَعِدِّي وَتَزَيَّنِي لِعِبَادِي يُوشِكُ أَنْ يَتْرُكُوا هَذَا الدُّنْيَا وَيَذْهَبُوا مِنْ تَعَبِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَى دَارِي وَكَرَامَتِي. He mentions that, oh Jannah, the fourth benefit, that in this blessed month of Ramadan, Allah commands Jannah. Subhanallah, can you imagine? Allah is commanding Jannah. Ista'iddi wa tazayyani li'ibadi. Oh Jannah, ista'iddi, prepare yourself, wa tazayyani, and beautify yourself, li'ibadi. For my khas slaves, for my special guests. Like Allah Ta'ala mentions, كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا هَنِيئًا بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْخَالِيَةِ. Allah Ta'ala will tell them, كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا هَنِيئًا. Eat now and drink wholeheartedly, wholesome food. بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْخَالِيَةِ. Because of that which you did in the unoccupied days. Those days that we had made you, we had given you khaliyah. This is ayyam al-khaliyah. This is ayyam al-khaliyah. Don't make this ayyam al-shaghila. Don't make this ayyam al-mashghula. Ayyam al-shaghila. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has called dunya ayyam al-khaliyah. Isko khali rakho ibadat ki liye. Empty these days. Unoccupy your days. Even if it might be, and the Prophet also mentioned, he doesn't want us to completely cut ourselves off from life and cut ourselves off from work. At least, what does he say? He says, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالْغَدْوَةِ وَالْرَوْحَةِ وَشَيْءٍ مِنَ الدُّلْجَةِ. A little bit in the morning, a little bit in the evening, a little bit before Fajr time. But this is أَيَّامُ الْخَالِيَةِ. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We did not create jinn and ins except to worship Allah. Except to worship me. This is the purpose of our creation. Allah said, I gave you ayyam al-khaliyah. I gave you those days which were unoccupied. I gave you those days which were vacant days. These are our vacant days. And our days in this life, it is our life of aman. And there's no questioning. And in the next life, it will be life of questioning and there will be no aman. This is the days that we need to prepare. إِسْتَعِدِّي وَتَزَيَّنِي لِعِبَادِي يُوشِكُ أَنْ يَتْرُكُ أَنْ يَذْهَبُ مِنْ تَعَبِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَى دَارِ وَكَرَامَتِي. It is about close, it is nigh, that they are about to leave the hardships and the difficulties of this world and come to my abode and come to my mihman nawazi and my hospitality that I have prepared for them. And number five, أَمَّا الْخَامِسَةُ فَإِنَّهُ إِذَا كَانَ آخِرُ لَيْلَةٍ مِنْ هَذَا الشَّهْرِ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ جَمِيعًا. That when the last night of the month of Ramadan comes, the last night, Allah Ta'ala forgives all of them. So one sahabi, he said, Ya Rasulullah, أَهِيَ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. أَهِيَ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. Is this the night of power? Is this لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ, which Allah Ta'ala has revealed the Quran, لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. He said, no. Rather, this is the last night of the month of Ramadan. He said, don't you see a person who works? أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الْأَجِيرِ. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الْأَجِيرِ. Do you not see the person who's working? When does the boss give him the money? In the فراغ العمل. That when he is done with his amal, then the boss, he gives him his pay. He said, this is the night when Allah Ta'ala gives our pay. And our pay is nothing but the maghfirat and the rizwan of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is the forgiveness and the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. May Allah Ta'ala give us the understanding. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala give us the magnitude and the azamat and the greatness of this blessed month. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to prepare for this month as is worthy for this month. These five things that Allah Ta'ala has given, it was not given to any other ummah. For us to understand that this month has a very great magnitude in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. It is a month of taqwa. It is a month of ibadat. It is a month of Quran. It is a month of devotion to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. It is that month that all of this filth of hubb dunya and sins and guna has accumulated in our hearts. Now Allah has given this month that we now do the washing. This month now is the month where we must do the washing of all of the defilement that is accumulated in our hearts. May Allah give us the tawfiq, and Allah Ta'ala give us the qudrat, and Allah give us the ability to do so. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. One very important point that I want to mention today is the day of Jummah. And Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned one very important point. He said that on the day of Jummah, no other wazifa is recommended to do other than Surah Kahf. There's one wazifa that a person should all of time, his whole time should be mustaghraq and occupied on the day of Jummah, and that is salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Salawat on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam mentioned that especially on the day of Friday, you should send a lot of durood sharif upon me. Salawat on the Prophet means durood sharif. Allahumma, and very short durood sharif. If a person cannot read the long one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abundantly on the day of Friday, a person, more than anything else, and Imam Shafi rahmatullahi said, nothing else has been recommended after reading Surah Kahf. Then, salawat on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this salawat on the Prophet, as is mentioned in the book Al-Qawlul Badi' fi salati ala al-Nabiyya al-Shafi, he says the greatest of the blessings of salat on the Prophet is the fact that Allah Ta'ala's rahmat descends upon us. It mentions, man salla alayya wahidatan sallallahu alayhi ashra. The one who sends one salutation upon the Prophet, Allah sends 10 mercies upon him. 10 mercies. The ulama mentioned that if Allah were to give you one mercy, it would be sufficient for your dunya and akhirat. One rahmat from Allah is sufficient for your dunya and akhirat. So that one rahmat is for you, and the 9 is bonus. Only Allah knows what is the maqam of that 9. You have that one, that is for you. It's enough for your dunya and akhirat, that one rahmat. Now imagine the other 9, that is bonus. Now you can imagine. Sallallahu alayhi ashra. The salawat of Allah Azza wa Jal cannot even be compared to anything. May Allah give us tawfiq then on this blessed day. Inshallah, we send salutation on the Prophet. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallah, bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.